End of day this way, Sunday night, probably obviously more.
Okay, good evening. So just a quick shayla, just on Shabbos afternoon, someone had the shayla about he's got into a habit of falling asleep, but next to his bed, we all have habits of falling asleep, shayla's when. And so what you do is that he puts drops on his pillowcase, or maybe on a tissue, and he places it next to his face. It calms him down as like lavender, what's it called, lavender, like a smell that calms him down, and it puts him to sleep. And the question is, he was asking me, like, he thought it was obviously okay. Just double checking, we were hanging around, so just double checking such a thing should be okay. So it was like one of these syringes that you have droplets inside it, and you just apply some droplets onto the cushion pillowcase. Just clearing about, is it mutter just to drop a few droplets onto the pillowcase, and with the smell calms him down and puts him to sleep. Okay? So is that any shayla on Shabbos?
What is it?
So often they see the shofanor with some machine chaf base. He was assuming it's all okay. You know, what are you doing here? You're doing chayrish, what are you doing? Kotza, ma'ama, what is it? Is it flying? Bishul, what's going on? Novos, there's a sif in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Chaf Beis. Mishabur speaks about it be'ikah three times. One's in Tofrish Nun Ches by Esrig, about putting Esrig into a baguette that makes the baguette smell. He speaks about it in Shin Chaf Beis, when he gets a Shabbos, making a baguette smell. And the third place where he speaks about it, you couldn't guess. He was a Kohen, so I told him to guess. It's actually in Hilchas Nesius Kafayim, Simen Kuf Chaf Ches. Mishabur says the minig was that they used to make the water that they used to wash the hands of the Kohenim, they used to give it a smell. It's like a shmaka mitzvah. So they used to pour some oil into the smelling oil, into the water, to make the water smell nice for the Kohenim to wash their hands. Mishabur says, don't do it on Shabbos, because the problem of moiled reach into the water, you'll be moiled the reach into the water which they're going to use. It's in Santa Zaki, you can have such a thing. In fact, the Shmuel Vosna writes that, do you know mouthwash? Do you know what mouthwash is? Yeah? Something I have to explain. Mouthwash, right? You buy in the shop mouthwash, Listerine, and you pour a bit of mouthwash into the cup holder, into the lid holder, and sometimes it's very, very strong. So what do you do? What would you do if it's too strong? You want to dilute it, so you put it under the tap and dilute it a little bit and make sure it's a bit more geschmack, more diluted. So Shmuel Vosna says, he declares, you're applying smell to the water that you've added from the tap. So Shmuel Vosna, I've got a problem of moiled reach. We said moiled reach into a baguette. So l'chayr, it should be a problem to apply these droplets into the cushion. And there's a problem of moiled reach into a shemet, into oil, into the water, which the Mishnah Berurah discussed by Birchus Kohanim. So Shmuel Vosna says l'chayr, it should be the same thing when it comes to the mouthwash. However, Shlomo Zalman says it's a bit different there. Because there your kavona is the faket. You're trying to dilute something, faket. You look at what he's doing is really, you've got a smell over there, and he's really diluting the smell. So he looks at it from his own. It's interesting how two different places looked at it different ways. Shmuel Vosna said, listen, you've added smell into the water that you now put in. Shlomo Zalman said, no, but what are you doing? What you're doing is diluting it. Okay, there's a bit of a shayla about that. Sorry? Exactly. Similar to that. So it's interesting, Shlomo Zalman said that it's okay because you look at it that you're diluting it. Whatever it is, back to our case, where a person wants to apply droplets onto his pillowcase, the chayr is a serious issue of moiled reach. It's an issa d'rabbanon, it's an issa kal, which the machzah shekel reza is a smaller issa. And the ma'isa, it's an issa because it's domi l'malocha. Rashi, it's a domi l'malocha. It's like you're creating something interesting. You're applying smell, a nice smell, onto a baguette. It seems to be a problem. When it comes to deodorant, the post can explain that to apply smell onto a person, and the gufa adam, is not a problem of moiled reach. So you may question that sometimes it goes onto the tzitzis, it goes onto the vest, it goes onto the shirt. That's already unintentional, that's okay, because you're not mechavan for that. The ikka kavona is that it should go under the arm. So that's why it's okay. There's no problem using deodorant. I know of many machmirim. Yeah, all week as well, just in case on Shabbos on the Maisa, it's going to be okay to use deodorant on Shabbos. No problem with that. In fact, you know, when it comes to, let me ask you, how do you deal with? Do you know sometimes on the toilets you can put a dispenser that goes around the rim of the toilet seat, and every time a person flushes the chain, then it passes through a nice smell, it makes the water smell. So why is there no problem of applying smell to water? Why is it not similar? Sorry? Yeah, if it smells, even if it's white, let's say you got around Sevilla, yeah, even if it's white, still you're applying smell to water. The Mishabrua told us when it comes to the Nesis Kapayim not to apply shemen into the water that the Kohanim plan to use because you're applying smell to the water. Why is this different? The Poskim say the Shailas of Yavetz writes, the Yavetz, he says that if the smell is there to take away a bad smell, there's no Issa altogether. That means the whole Issa is to be interesting, very interesting Kiddush. The whole Issa is to create a smell that you didn't have before, not to take away a bad smell. Just stamp to have a geshmak of smell. But if it's there, if the whole smell, the purpose is to get rid of a bad smell, there's no problem. Kiddush, the mice is brought down in the poskim. Let me ask you that, Shaila.
That's what it thinks of it.
So that's going to be okay. That's going to be okay. Again, you've got a problem with Sevilla. In fact, a Bosch West End. Sometimes, if it's blue, sometimes you got a problem with Sevilla. In fact, Dan Westheim, Zechron Levracha, told me that when Shmuel Vosner came to town in Manchester a few years ago, so then he went to the Beis HaKisei, and afterwards he noticed, Rebosha noticed, that the dispenser had been pushed away. He had noticed that it was being pushed away, because he held in his shuvahs, he's written about this, that is a bit of a problem with Sevilla, so he noticed that issue. Let me ask you this, Shaila. My daughter, she had a blocked nose, she's a 2-year-old, and sometimes a baby, when she's blocked, when her nose is blocked, then she can't sleep, she wakes up an hour later, she's bothered, she wakes, yeah, the maisa, a child needs to be dealt with, a child has got a halacha of a chayla, it's got a halacha of a chayla, and what you would typically want to do is get hold of this albasoil, very cheap, you can buy in the shop albasoil, it smells very geschmack, it's got a very strong smell, and what you would want to do is just to open the lid, and drop 2-3 droplets onto the pillow or onto a tissue. Well, I can smell it already. It's very strong. You'll probably smell it in a second. Unless there's corona. But yeah, so this is a corona test, a free corona test, right? You see if you can smell it, then you know you're okay. So basically, you'd want to apply this albasoil onto a baguette, onto a tissue, and then put her next to my child, so that after 2-3 minutes it clears out the system and now she'll be able to sleep. Okay, so according to what we said before, to apply a smell onto a baguette or onto a tissue is a problem, because it's an issue to do so on Shabbos. Obviously, ideally to try and do it before Shabbos. The Maisa, this has happened quite a few times. What would you say the suggestion is? I've got a child.
It's not for the baguette, it's just not leaving yet.
Okay. Again, I'm applying smell to a baguette. Let's get that clear. We said before it's a problem, right? This person that I was telling you before about, the person who likes the smell to calm him down, right? We said it's a problem to do that on Shabbos. Okay, so now my shayla is very similar, where you have a child involved and you're doing it so that it should unblock the system, right? So she should be able to sleep normally. Yeah, so it's not so clear. The pashas.
She doesn't want it.
So you want to say maybe it's similar to what we said about the toilet, where we said that since you're doing it to get rid of a smell, it's yesh logan about. It's not clear if it's exactly the same. Kipshuta, you're taking your nice smell. I like it, very, very enjoyable. You pour it into a pillowcase, and you apply smell onto a baguette. It's a mafurish remor. You can't do that on Shabbos. Now, because we're talking about a child, which is age of 2 or 3, is considered a chayla. The halacha is that for a chayla, you can do a malacha derabbanon when it's done b'shinui. So if I would take it like this, yeah, and do it with my two fingers, and go like this, that's called a shinui, it's not the normal way of doing it. Yeah, or if you wanted to do a proper shinui, you do some other way, yeah. So this you do with your mouth or something like that, and apply two or three droplets onto a tissue, that would be a way forward, because for a chayla, shein b'sakana, even if it's aim b'sakana, you could do malacha derabbanon b'shinui. That's the halacha. So it comes out, especially over here, where the Masal Shekel says, such an issa of applying smell is a shallow issa, so to speak. There's no such thing as shallow issa, but it's a kal. So therefore, zecha, a person can be maker when it comes to a mokum of a chayla. That's a very interesting topic when it comes to applying smell onto a baguette, applying smell onto, so again, we said it's only onto a baguette or a tissue, and we said it doesn't apply if you're doing so to get around a bad smell. That's why the toilet dispensers are okay. And finally, when it comes to a chayla, that would be okay. You can do so if it's done with a shinui, that would be a way forward. That would be a way forward. Okay, so now moving on to this is a geshmaka topic. What last week we were discussing about mincha ma'arif together when it's a tarata de sasra. Let me tell you like this. Imagine plug was before 7 o'clock. Now you want to daven mincha at 7:30. So 7:30 after the first plague. 7:30, you want to daven mincha. Very nice, you finish mincha. Shkoich, shkoich bal tefillah. Now, the daven v'hurachum, Moshe Amalas, right? The davening now, Ma'ariv. Now really, you daven mincha at a time where it's after plague. So why would we be able to daven Ma'ariv now? Now that you've called this time of after plague, you've called it daytime. So now, to daven Ma'ariv, we said there's a problem of Tata the Satra. You first daven mincha, and after plague you're calling it daytime. And straight after mincha, nothing else has happened. It's not shkia, it's not nach, nothing else has happened, you daveni Ma'ariv. That is called in the postim something called Tata the Satra, which the postim says you should avoid. Novos, there is a Mogen Avraham. The Mogen Avraham says that if it's a tircha to get the tibur to come back again afterwards, by nacht, then you can allow the tibur to go ahead and daven Ma'ariv, even if it's Tara to the Satra. The Olim have daven mincha after plague. And now they still want to daven Ma'ariv straight after mincha, before Shkia anything, or before where it's a place of Tara to the Satra. Mishabura says it's okay. That's what he writes in Siman Reish Lamed Gimel. He says, from the Mogen Avraham, that's going to be okay.
Is this such a thing you daven Shemanes with them, and then you daven the rest after?
Oh, we're going to come to that. We're going to come to that. So this is where the Mishnah Berurah says, over here, very very straightforward Mishnah Berurah, that he says that Abel Tzibur Shehispalalo Mincha, right, so Davin Mincha Hapa 7, Uluchashiyeyuchu Lebeisam, if you were to tell them, you know, go home and come back, Yeh Toirach Lekabtsum Shenis, Letfilis Erev, then, these battle Tfilis Letzibur Legami, there won't be a Tfilis Betzibur, Hekilo Hachreinim Shemuta Lispalal Arvis Samach Mincha. Now you can do it out of the Sasra. That's why you will find some Minyanim. Especially, I think there's more of these minyanim in London than in Manchester. There's very few minyanim here in Manchester which have Tata the Satra. In London, it's quite an offer. So you have Mincha Marahapa 7 throughout the summer. Now really, it's a Tata the Satra. What are you calling this time? You're calling it daytime, so you can daven Mincha, not Ma'ariv. You're calling it nighttime, only Ma'ariv, not Mincha. So that's where you hold, you got the Mogen Avraham, L'chaya, you should be okay. There's one problem with this. The problem is Mr. Brewer himself is Soyuz himself. He says, it's a Reish Lamed Hei, he says very clearly, he says, V'nireh, just one line, he says, Dafke im bezeh hayoim lo yispal mincha acha plag mincha. He says very clearly, if you daven mincha after plag, let's say after 7, you can't daven Ma'ariv, it's better to daven Ma'ariv b'yechidus, by nacht, than to daven Tavs of Sasra. So he's clearly Soyuz himself. He's Soyuz himself, he quotes the Derech HaChaim. Ramosha also holds like that it's better to daven b'yechidus later, or at least like Rechaim mentioned, at least to leave the brachas for later, but not to give a clear heta like the Mogen Avraham did, like the Mishnah Berurah brings. And you should know, for this stira, there's no clear answer. There's no good that I haven't yet, I went around to many Rabbanim over the years, and Lemaisa, there's no good answer. It's a good stira. The Mishnah Berurah, although he brings in one place a heta from the Mogen Avraham, he does say that it's better to daven b'yechidus. Now, if he's telling you to daven b'yechidus later by Ma'ariv, later by Nacht, so why is he telling you that you've got a heta tata the Satra? There's a few suggestions that have been suggested. Maybe over there he's talking about there's only one minion. It's not clear. The Ma'ase, if he's told you that it's better to daven Ma'ariv b'yechidus later, again, if you daven mincha hapa 7, you daven mincha hapa 7, Mishnah Berurah clearly tells you later, now the daven mincha after plague, go and daven Ma'ariv b'yechidus. Better daven Ma'ariv b'yechidus.
Why should daven mincha
again? We don't seem to be...
According to
Mishnah Berurah, Reish Lamed Hei, it says very clearly that it's what it's you daven mincha after plague, don't daven Ma'ariv. Even it's better to avoid the tefillah b'tzibur and daven b'yechidus later. So you could maybe answer that when he gave the heta for the Mogen Avraham, talking about one minion in town, that if you're not going to allow a Ma'ariv, there'll be no Ma'ariv in town. That's been suggested. But the fact is that it's Nishkan Klorazach, that you have one Mogen Avraham. Therefore, where possible, it's Kedai to avoid. Because you see, Mishnah Berurah wasn't so keen about this. One place he does give the heta, so that's clearly if a person... Listen, I think on this Shaila, a person has to know himself. If he knows, if he's the type of person, he knows it doesn't happen. Either he forgets Ma'ariv or it doesn't happen, and it's again Shazai. So then he has to know himself, then at least he got a Mogen Avraham to rely on. Yeah? But if a person knows himself that he can push it through, he can daven Ma'ariv or go to Mincha Ma'ariv, which does Mincha before plague and Ma'ariv after plague, or before Shkia and after Shkia, then it's Kedai to avoid. I'll tell you something, when it comes to Mincha and Erev Shabbos, most shuls in town, they daven Mincha and Ma'ariv and Kabbalah Shabbos before and after plague. Before, especially in the summer, they do it before Mincha, before plague, and Ma'ariv, the Kabbalah Shabbos straight after. Lots of times, a person can come late. A person can come late to Mincha Erev Shabbos. Let's say Mincha is Mincha 6:30. Plug is going to be 20 minutes later. So they're running in Balach HaDoidi, right? So they try and find a small room at the back to try and daven their Mincha. Be'etzem, what time do they daven Mincha? It's already after Plug, because that's how they orchestrate it. They orchestrated the Minchas before Plug. Kuntos, you run in, huffing and puffing, you're catching Mincha on the side, so you've daven Mincha after Plug, and then you join them for Maariv straight after, which is also Tata and Satra. Also get that to try and, again, the Chatchila, again, you can see how Dochik is. You got the Mishnah. Yes, the Mishnah Berurah does bring down Mogel Avraham. That says when it's a Tircha to bring everyone again afterwards, he does allow a Tata and Satra. But he's clearly says himself two other places where he says it's better than Mechidus, so therefore it's Kedai to just, ideally, to avoid it, if possible. Some people told me, a person told me, he needs everything kavua. He needs his seder, otherwise he's just a goner. Otherwise there's no supper, there's no seder, there's no learning b'chavrusa. So, okay, you got a Mogen Avraham. But zecha, some people, especially if they don't have seder, then the whole evening is gone. It's very easy to pass the evening. So like this, so it's kind of, you have at least a Mogen Avraham to rely on. But zecha lachatchila to try and avoid. Okay, that's going to get to the Mincha Maariv. Now we've got a Shaila, a few more other Shailas going to get to the summer. Again, just the next few days, I just want to point out the Geshmaka Shailas that come up in the summer. And one of the Shailas comes up, is going to get to the ice pops, okay? Now, I want to explain to the Olam that, yes, when it comes to opening packets, so there's a big to-do, it gives every Rav a whole series of Shaurim to speak about opening packets, opening bottles. And there's a lot of backwards and forwards, holach yelach, to explain the Shlema Zalman and this and that, and you're making a keli, not making a keli, korea. I just want to explain one thing, that the shaila opening ice pops is very different to any other shaila. Let me explain very, very simple. When you have the shaila of opening packets, there's something to talk about. Why? Because you're telling me, there's a problem of korea, that you're tearing on Shabbos, you're tearing constructively. On that, there's a taina against that. No, not such a problem, because you know something. The way it was bound together was done by a steam heat. And it's not so firm. So there's already svaros to play around with. There's a Orach HaShulchan, there's a Gush Moshe that says that since the attachment on the top of the packets, the two lips of the of the packets, are not so strongly tied together, right? And it's a bit soft. Therefore, there's already some poskim that says, okay, there's something to talk about, okay? Then similarly, when it comes to opening bottles, you ready? You can already discuss it. When it comes to the ice pot, much worse in the sense, because when you take a knife, imagine this is an ice pot. You know the sausage ice pops that you snap, or you get the Mr. Freeze ice pops, for the heck or whatever, Mr. Freeze, that you got a long one and you cut it at the top. That would be a classical ice pop that you'd want to cut into. So to cut that on Shabbos, hang on a second, right? If a person, let's just get back to basics here. Korea means, if you got a tissue, okay, let's say you want to tear this, right, let's say Mr. Hashem will be zoicha to tear these masks. Bekorov, Bekorov Mamash, Rosh Chodesh Iya, is Rosh Tevis, Ani Hashem Rifecho, Mr. Hashem will be zoicha to see the back of this corona. And so imagine, let's say we want to share masks. Yeah, let's say we want, no, you can't share masks. Imagine this was a tissue and you want to share tissue. So I want to give you half a tissue and I'll keep half a tissue myself. What malach is that? It's malach of Korea. And you've done it, Korea tearing in a constructive manner. You've done it constructively. So too, when it comes to your ice pop, and you take a knife and you cut the top of the ice pop, you cut it off, or you snap it, you've done a tearing in a constructive way. Now, you've torn in a way where it's constructive. Now, Geshmaka holder. And that is where the place is. That's why you'll see a lot of these sausage ice pops. It actually says on some of the Hashem that give out a Heksha on these ice pops, they write, Lishboi Kodem HaShabbos. They don't often write this, and when it comes to ice pops, you'll see they don't write it on packets. On packets, they avoid this. They're not going to tell you Yesh Lepoischa Lifnei Shabbos. When it comes to the sausage ice pop, you'll see it says Yesh Lepoischa Lifnei Shabbos. There's a big achievement in opening ice pops before Shabbos. Why? Because you're gaining, Emes Hashayla of Korea, that you're doing it in an open Mesukim. Therefore, if a person makes it his job, that Erev Shabbos he opens the ice pops, he's done a major achievement. He's taken his Hilchos Shabbos from here, and he brought it all the way out to there. Because opening ice pops could be a serious shayla of Korea that you're actually caught, you're torn, and the tearing was done constructively. Rabbi Zvapti Mamashak Tamash, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I suppose.